appears to indicate a break in the discourse between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami. While Sukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, Suta Goswami was only one member of a large audience. Suta Goswami was speaking to the sages of Naimisaranya, headed by the sage Sonika, a descendant of Sukadeva Goswami. This, however, does not make any substantial difference in the topics under discussion. Om Gyanati Manandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshuran Mimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find various parallel discussions. Sometimes Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, and sometimes we find that Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisaranya. And these discussions are, as is pointed out, not substantially different, because Suta Goswami is simply repeating whatever he heard of the discussion between Sukadev and Maharaj Pariksit. So in other words, in the parampara, the substance is not changing. There are other speakers in Srimad Bhagavatam, like here also a discussion going on between Maitreya and Vidura, who are remembering also the main discussions, the discussions of Sukadeva and Pariksit and of Suta Goswami and and the sages of Naimisaranya. Naimisaranya is particularly the place dedicated to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said Naimisaranya, Aranya means forest, and Naimisa is referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who never closes his eyes. And in that place, Naimisaranya. Therefore it is said it is the place particularly favorable for worship of the Supreme Lord or performing sacrifice. This forest of Naimisaranya is supposed to be in the center of the universe. It's said there is a wheel which represents the universe, and right there on the very core of that wheel is Naimisaranya, yeah, the place where Bhagavatam was spoken. Highlighting that Srimad Bhagavatam is essential. It is said in the third chapter of the first canto, Krishne Swadamo Bhagate Dharma Ginadi Bisaha Kalo Nastadrisam Eza Purana Ko Dunoditaha, that in this age of Kali, after the disappearance of Krishna, then Dharma or religious principles and transcendental knowledge also left the planet. But all transcendental knowledge then became available in the Bhagavad Purana, in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like lighting up the darkness of the age of Kali, where all people have lost their vision like the sun. So in that way, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us pure transcendental knowledge. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we get the narration of Gopakumar. And Gopakumar is looking for the topmost situation. And he is performing one sadhana, the chanting of the mantra that has been given to him by his spiritual master. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord, he becomes qualified to go to higher and higher situations. So at one point, Gopakumar comes to the heavenly planets. Then he comes to higher planets than that. He goes to the Maharjana and Tapalokas. And finally, Gopakumar comes to Brahmaloka. So when Gopakumar comes to Brahmaloka, it is described that at that time, Lord Brahma had to leave for some purpose. So he asked Gopakumar to take up the position of Lord Brahma and to look after all the universal affairs. So Gopakumar did. And it is said that one day there was an assembly of all the Vedas personified. And they all came and in the assembly of Lord Brahma, and there was a big discussion. And especially the Upanishads, they spoke very loud and they were just taking over the entire assembly. And so much so that various scriptures became upset, including some agamas, some confidential Upanishads like the Gopal Tapani Upanishad and also some of the Puranas, including the Bhagavad Purana or Srimad Bhagavatam. They were all upset at this behavior of the Upanishads and therefore they left the assembly. And then everyone became very worried. They walked out of the assembly, apparently offended, and Gopakumar, along with some of the other dignitaries, went there, pacified them, asked them to come back. And then Bhagavatam spoke, and Bhagavatam established the supremacy of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, we find that Bhagavatam is giving the topmost conclusions, as it is stated in the beginning. There are three verses, basically, which are the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first verse is Janmadiyasya yatun viyat itaratas chateswa vikyasuratene brahmaridaya adikaviye muyanti yat suryaha tejo varimidam yat avinyo yat atrisargamisa damne svena sadani rastaku kam satyam param dimahi. So the first verse, Janmadiyasya yataha, is identified as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The entire Bhagavatam, for that matter, is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. But these first words, Janmadiyasi Yataha, are found in the Vedanta Sutra. And then it carries on and explains how actually Krishna is the source of everything. And with that, immediately it is established that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is separated from his energies. And therefore it establishes the philosophy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught of Achincha Bheda Bheda Tattva, which is further elaborated on in the third canto. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, the purpose of the Bhagavatam is satyam param dimahi, as is explained in that first verse, to establish the absolute truth. And the purpose is to establish that the param satyam is parameshwar, or that the absolute truth is the supreme controller. And when we speak of a supreme controller, we speak of a personality. Therefore, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish that the absolute truth is personality of Godhead. In the third verse, we get the verse Nikamagal Patara Galitam Phalam Sukamukat Amrita Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mura Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. In that verse, it is described how of all the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. It is the which can fulfill all desires, Nikama Kalpataru. Compared to a desire tree, which and Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge, which has been touched by the beak of the parrot Sukha, and thus becomes even more sweet than it naturally would be on its own. So that is interesting how the parampara, how all the knowledge is carried in parampara, and yet it still becomes sweeter when spoken by the devotee. Sukadev Goswami is speaking the same knowledge he has heard from Vyasadeva, unaltered. And yet it becomes sweeter when he touches it with his lips. So it is explained that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that transcendental knowledge is received in parampara, then duly applied by the receiver, who then is realizing that knowledge in turn in his heart, and then can present those same conclusions that he has heard with full realization. And it is there where the added sweetness comes in the delivery of the transcendental knowledge. And it is there where every acharya, according to time, place, and circumstances, is bringing in personal realization. And that is the mystery of the parampara, how the knowledge, the very same knowledge, is carried forward, and yet each acharya is adding something also. Therefore, here it is stated that when Sutta Goswami repeated the knowledge that he had heard from Sukadev Goswami, it was not, Srila Prabhupada said, there was not, when Sutta Goswami spoke, he said, this, however, does not make any substantial difference in the topics under discussion. Still, Sukadev Goswami was not just memorizing what he had heard. He was, of course, Srutidhar, one who, having heard once, was able to repeat everything perfectly. Still, we see that the acharyas are sometimes placing some emphasis on a particular form according to the need of time, place, and circumstance, according to their particular ability. When Sukadev Goswami was speaking the Bhagavatam, then Narada Muni and Vyasadev, who were the two generations superior to him, they were sitting in the audience to hear him speak. Although Vyasadev was the one who had spoken Bhagavatam to Sukadev Goswami, still, the way that Sukadev was speaking, was so sweet that Vyasadev wanted to hear. So, that is very interesting. So, previously, we understand that there was some room for the speaker to express some realization, even as Sukadev was speaking, and it was that realization of Sukadev that made it so sweet. In the same way, we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily from various speakers, and it's it's valuable to hear from different speakers. Although the speaker is meant to be very faithful and very careful to repeat what he has heard in parampara and not just not speculate by no means. Still, the way that various speakers are presenting the Bhagavatam is maybe different because one assimilates that transcendental knowledge and then expresses it in his own words, which may bring out a particular point in a different way. When we are reading by ourselves, again and again, we may read the same thing, but also with that, we are reading our own conception. We're reading our own understanding of the text, our own interpretation of the text, as we understand it. And if we would just spend our time reading Bhagavatam by ourselves, we echo our own mental conceptions. But when we hear, from other Vaishnavas, we hear the same philosophy, but present it in different words. And sometimes, in a way, and suddenly, we understand a particular point a little different. I never thought of it in that particular context. But yes, makes sense, actually. So like this, the hearing of Bhagavatam from various speakers is especially emphasized and is considered more important than to just hear Bhagavatam or to just spend to be alone with Bhagavatam and study the text by ourselves. So that is interesting. I often like to make the point that Srila Prabhupada occasionally mentioned to various personalities. Once, for example, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would say that Prabhupada told him that the purports are more important than the verses. Which is sort of, one might think, well, is that humble? I mean, but obviously the purports are more important than the verses, because without the purports, how can we understand the verses? In some verses it may be not so complicated, but and some verses are very complicated, and we really would miss a lot. But Srila Prabhupada's purports are bringing out so much, also here. Just here, highlighting this little point about there being no difference in substance between Sukadev Goswami and Suta Goswami, that becomes for us actually the main focus. Therefore, when there is a verse to which Srila Prabhupada did not give a purport, then out of deference we will not comment. We will not. Therefore, we'll speak on the next verse. We won't comment. Because you say, well, if Prabhupada didn't give an explanation, then it's not up to us to volunteer a big explanation, as if we are the great acharya who can even give on this verse an explanation. No, then we just say, okay, let this verse speak for itself. So that we remain very faithful. To remain faithful to Srila Prabhupada is obviously very important, since he is the founder acharya who has taken the commentaries of the acharyas. I remember that in the late 80s there was a scholarly devotee who did a seminar called Unzipping the Purports, and he was a little bit little bit slanted. He pointed out, yes, these purports are actually not at all Prabhupada's purports. These purports are actually full of quotes from the commentaries of the acharyas. He's saying, you know, and we're glorifying Prabhupada, but actually these are the commentaries of the acharyas. But we felt, yes, that's exactly why Prabhupada is so glorious. Right? Exactly for that reason, you know, that he just was so faithful. Just, you know, not trying to be so intelligent as to each time come up with his own analysis, but just so faithful, just presenting faithfully the commentaries of the acharyas, and then adding his own realization as well. So in this way, it's really the point where the past and the present comes together, because Srila Prabhupada is taking the commentaries of the previous acharyas and then gives us the standard for the modern world. For example, in Bhagavatam 7 canto, there are descriptions of brahmacharis with matted locks, but we don't see brahmacharis with matted locks too much in our movement. These things were adjusted. It was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who gave shape to the ashrams, to the dress, to the appearance in this modern age. And Prabhupada just took that and established that, and that's it. So the acharya has the last word. He has the last word, emphasizing which details in scriptures are to be given importance and which details are to be given less importance. Therefore, this weekend, which we have just observed, is very valuable. Because these days, it is more rare to have the presence of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, especially of those who were closely connected to Srila Prabhupada and really received a lot of instructions. When I came to this movement, which was just after Srila Prabhupada left, those instructions were very much alive. That was, you know, what everyone was talking about. But now, maybe so many years have passed, right, and many have never heard, and many have come and have learned, have heard something, but then trained others. And in this way, now there are generations of devotees who came after Prabhupada. And so some things are forgotten, or some things are different. It was interesting, like we heard stories about the canopy, you know. We heard this canopy story 100 times, but we never heard it from the people who were involved. And that changed. It gradually changes, these stories. They change, they grow, they shrink, they stretch, they do all kinds of things. And then it's interesting to just hear it as it really was from the from those devotees that were there. At the same time, though, Vaishnavira Kriya Vigyana Bhujaya, a Vaishnava, an exalted Vaishnava, cannot be fully understood by inferiors. Therefore, one cannot fully understand the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada is being glorified for things and not glorified for others. Right? And there may be things that he actually deserves to be glorified for, but that we are not able to perceive at this stage because we are lacking. So the perception sometimes of Srila Prabhupada is colored by the eyes of the perceiver. I remember from the Prabhupada Lilamrita one point that I liked, where there was one devotee who was seeing Prabhupada being carried in New Vrindavan, and there was this road which they call the Agasura road. It's a very rough road, and they were carrying Prabhupada in a palanquin in the evening, and it was dark, and there were many devotees that were holding up torches, right, to light the way, so it looked like a very kind of romantic, beautiful kind of picture. And one devotee, seeing all this, felt like, I'm in the spiritual world, you know, we are here in the spiritual world with Prabhupada, and then felt a very strong desire to be closer to Prabhupada, and pushed to the ground and came right up next to the palanquin, only to realize I am just miles away, right? I can be here right next to Prabhupada, but at the same time, I'm far away. So ultimately, transcendental knowledge must be realized in the heart. Even if one hears directly, it's still not sufficient if it is not fully taken to heart and applied. But of course, we see that so many devotees took Srila Prabhupada so much to heart, so many of his disciples, so sincere and so dedicated to fulfilling his desire, and that comes out in a weekend like we have just had, that strong desire to please Srila Prabhupada. And now Srila Prabhupada has become more like the founder Acharya, and everyone looks at the great founder Acharya, but that personal desire when he really wanted something is now sometimes disappearing in the background. Now you get more the great, powerful devotee. But what is forgotten are all the little things that he really cared about. And in a weekend like this, that's highlighted. Many things are highlighted. As I said, the devotion of his disciples is highlighted. Prabhupada's specific desires are highlighted. So, in this way, these anniversaries are not only celebrations, some kind of formality. You know, at 40 years you have to do something, at 50 years you have to do something. And we will do at 50 years. But at 40 years, Madhudvisa could not be there. And that was obviously a great absence, who did so much in Australia. Let's see who will not be there at 50 years of anniversary. So in the 40 years was an important one, because still many could be there, I was thinking. In 50 there may be less opportunity. Anyway, so we got greatly blessed, because we should understand that the parampara is not only the list that you find in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, from Vyas and so on, coming down from Brahma to Vyas, Narada and so on, and then Srila Prabhupada being the 32nd link in that disciplic succession. That's not the only disciplic succession. Disciplic succession comes also in everyday life through so many senior devotees who have learned. It's like I was in Vrindavan, and I was trained in Vrindavan by Kunarnava in keeping accounts. And he was trained by Prabhupada in keeping accounts. And there were certain things that Gunanava told me, Prabhupada wanted it like this. Okay, and so that's parampara. It comes in parampara. One receives like that. so many things in parampara. So the parampara is not only the official line which we memorize. Oh, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, or the other way around, Vyas, Narada, I'm sleeping. No, it comes through so many senior devotees to us. In that way, we are very fortunate to have such events, which are a good excuse to bring an assembly of many senior devotees together, and we get the benefit. Yeah, the theme of the verse is parampara and how knowledge comes through unaltered, and that's why I expanded it into the anniversary, not only to just say something about the anniversary, but I wanted to show that actually the anniversary is a further manifestation of the parampara, and that's really what we have been experiencing in this. What are the benefits of studying Prabhupada's books? Well, Srila Prabhupada's books are totally uncompromised. First of all, Srila Prabhupada has focused on those scriptures that are fully transcendental. We know that in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Traigunya Visya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, that a portion of the Vedas is influenced by the three modes of material nature, such as the Upaveda, which deals with Jyotish, Shastra, or Vastu, or Ayurveda, or such things, also Vedic literature, also to be respected, but not transcendental. Then the Upanishads, some confidential references are there to devotional service to Krishna, but limited. They mainly highlight Brahman and the eternal position of Brahman. So, some confidential Upanishads, like the East Upanishad, is establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. And immediately, Prabhupada translated that. Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapi tanmukam tattvan upang apavrinu satyadrisaya dharma de. Please take away these glaring effulgence and show your true face. Very much establishing the personality of Godhead right there. Then the Bhagavad Gita, the words directly spoken by Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amanam Puranam, that only deals with pure devotional service. Some of the other Puranas may attain some karma kanda, some jnana kanda, but Bhagavatam, no karma kanda, no jnana kanda, only bhakti, like that. The Nectar of Devotion, a compilation by Srila Rupa Goswami, drawing from Bhagavatam and all kinds of Vaishnava scripture, Narada Pancharatra, for one. So in that way, these books, they are just describing only pure devotional service. That is so nice. And Srila Prabhupada was himself so fully dedicated that there are no mistakes in that respect. It is said that the words of the pure devotee are free from mistakes. That means from philosophical mistakes, everything is just pointing at pure devotional service. Material mistakes may be there in language and this and that, or sometimes in misquoting a Sanskrit verse. That's material mistake, but no mistake in Siddhanta. Therefore, the Siddhanta of Srila Prabhupada's books is perfect. And thus, you can read these books and without filters. You know, the whole day in the world, we are bombarded by information, and you have to always filter it, right? Like, you know, like that particular product which is presented to us. It's the real thing. It's not. It's, the mind has to say, it's not. It's rubbish. But they put it in your face. You know, it's the real thing, and it's not. So we have to filter, constantly filter information. With these books, no filtering. Just drink it in. Open up completely and immediately. As soon as we associate with Srila Prabhupada's book, we're lifted from the mental platform, from the sensual platform, from the mental platform, even from the intellectual platform, to the pure devotional platform. Immediately, we just lift it up and everything becomes, falls into place. And therefore, it's essential. It's very essential. Still, we should also hear so that we can check our own inadvertent misconceptions of what Prabhupada is saying and hear the assembly of devotees like that. But and you see, Srila Prabhupada was even reading his own books and saying, these books have been dictated by Krishna. So they're purely transcendental. And nowadays there may be so many other books, right? And many of them may also be very pure and very transcendental. But it can be that inadvertently some particular slant also creeps in. Therefore, we go back to Prabhupada's books. These are the main books that we read. The main books. Here we can be sure, completely safe, 100%.
If someone's not inclined to study or read Prabhupada's books, should they still be encouraged to read them?
If someone's not inclined,
yeah.
Should it be? Yeah, should be anybody. Any contact with Prabhupada's books is auspicious. Even if you just touch them, if you have them in your house, if you hear one word, like, it's the greatest blessing in your life. Everyone should be encouraged to read them. Everyone. The whole world. He himself said he wanted Bhagavatam in every house on the planet. Bhagavatam. So if we just take care of every house in Melbourne, that would really be something. Full set in every house in Melbourne. Something to think about.
Maharaj, in the report, it's mentioned that Sonak
was a descendant of Sukadeva Goswami. Sonak. Yeah. I can't say anything about it. No. Sorry. Sonak Rishi. I wouldn't know. Anyone knows more about that? It says here that Vatsuta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisaranya, headed by the sage Sonaka, a descendant of Sukadev Goswami. So, exactly how we have to see that, I can't figure out, because it's Suta Goswami who we are accepting as the link. And so,
does he mean a spiritual descendant?
Could be, can be. That he was the receiver, that he heard. I mean, so we can interpret it, that indirect. So we can go, so Hari Suri is offering an indirect meaning. If you can't make sense of the direct meaning, it says, then you can go for the indirect meaning. Then you can look at, yeah, maybe it means that he became the descendant of Sukadev Goswami because he heard from Suta Goswami, like that, spiritual descendant. That counts. In India today, You can still buy land in your initiated name. And they give, as your father's name, you give your guru's name. And it legally stands. And it is so good. Right? It's really nice. Yeah, you can do that, yes. In his passport, Prabhupada had his father's name, Bhakti Siddhanta Bhakti. Yes. So whenever they ask father's name, you can put, in India, they always ask on the form, you can put your guru's name.
Just one knowledge question. In Prashant Chakrabarty Thakur's comment, he says this, how he's calling him the son of Kushala Tribhu.
Yeah. Who is Bhrigu? That I understand. Bhargava means the son of Bhrigu. Is that referring to Shanaka? I thought it was referring to Maitreya. Okay. Shanaka is the son of Bhrigu. Yeah. Well, sometimes it's true. When you look in the commentaries of the Acharyas, you get some more light on these things. So here it says, Shanaka is the son of Bhrigu. And then Sukadev, also related to Bhrigu. It's too complicated for me, these family lineages. We'd have to look at the whole tree now. Because how is Sukadev then connected to Bhrigu? Because here it says descendant of Sukadev Goswami. So still a little confusing. Needs more homework, I think. Not right here and now. It's a good idea to look at the commentaries. Yes.
My addition in relation to the lecture you gave on Friday.
Friday? I don't remember Friday.
you spoke about how the Prabhupada Samadhi is a dome which is.
There's a what?
It's a dome which is where the demigods sit and shower flowers and Prabhupada.
Pushpa Samadhi, yeah. Says Vaishnavira Kriya Vigyana Bhujaya, the glories of the spiritual master by far exceed the understanding of the disciple, constitutionally according to that verse. Yeah. But more and more the disciple appreciates the glories of the spiritual master, and that's an ongoing thing. It doesn't end. It's not like, okay, I figured it out. No. As time goes on, one appreciates deeper and deeper actually. It's an eternal thing, realizing the glories of the spiritual master. Therefore, one should never think my spiritual master is an ordinary man. Now I've understood him. One should always, therefore, be humble and submissive and remain a fool before the spiritual master and not think, now I also know. No, one should always think. Maybe I'm not fully understanding. There's more to learn. That's the attitude. Yes.
So just to be clear of a point you made earlier, you mentioned how we'll look at scriptures and we'll understand them or interpret them according to our conception. But how do we make sure we understand them properly?
Indeed.
Not misunderstand them and just call it like a realization, you know, I've had this realization.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about the Bhakti Kalpataru, the Kalyana Kalpataru, the auspicious desire tree. He says, my spiritual master has given me this auspicious desire tree of transcendental knowledge. But due to my harsh mind, I have covered this, the full glory of the tree. But the Vaishnavas, they are the caretaker of that tree. And in the assembly of the Vaishnavas, therefore, that tree can be restored to its original full glory. So that's basically the process. The process is we hear, we receive the transcendental knowledge, but whatever impurities are within us, within the mind, will kind of cover over the knowledge to a degree, and then in the association of the Vaishnavas, that transcendental knowledge is re-established in its full glory. Like that. I'll end. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jaya.
That was going to go on the face in the recordings of the Holy